corner of Broadway and Battery. This is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
This is the Damon Bruce Show minus D. Bruce, who is on vacation. I get to sit in with Gianna and Ray Rattle, Roxy Bernstein with you, 95.7 The Game. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Gianna.
Hi, Roxy.
Hi, Ray.
Hi, Gianna.
I'm here, too.
I know you're here.
Okay.
But I want to make sure that Gianna is an equal partner in this nightmare.
Okay. Awesome.
We're basically going to blow our careers to smithereens, and she's going to be with us.
I can't wait.
Well, we need somebody good to save us. So you're basically the human shield.
Okay. I'll do my best.
You ready for this, Roxy?
Well, that's why we're doomed. I'm Commodore Bad Attitude.
You got to be kidding me.
I know.
You? Mr. Negativity? No. No one's ever accused
you of
that.
I'm the only guy who praised the shoe last night in the Duke game.
The shoe won or the shoe lost?
The shoe did a hell of a job.
The shoe got Zion.
No, I think what happened is Zion destroyed the shoe. I don't think the shoe... My theory is the shoe was made to specifications, but Zion is basically made of titanium.
And what a disappointment if you tuned in to watch that game last night. Now, usually the Duke-Carolina game, not much lives up to the billing these days when you highly anticipated matchup. But in most games recently, the Duke-Carolina matchup had lived up to the billing. Certainly not last night when the poster child for college basketball, the guy who's the surefire number one pick in the NBA draft come June, gets injured, but he also completely obliterates his shoe last night. Yeah. And that's all anybody's talking about today is, okay, he disintegrated the shoe, and then he got hurt, and then hopefully the injury is not as bad. But I've never seen anything like that before, where the shoe just completely blew up like it did last night.
Not in a very long time, and that was back in the days when shoes could do that. I mean, I'm just imagining how a shoe could tear the way it did. And I think it's the fact that he is basically built like two trucks.
I mean, he's 6'7", 280 pounds.
Yeah, and put torque on one area of a shoe that you don't like triple reinforce.
So in case you missed it last night in that game, here's what happened to Zion Williamson, the star for Duke. It's coming.
And there you have it.
It's coming.
Thrilling.
You want me to impersonate Dan Shulman here?
Ouch!
ESPN last night?
My foot.
What
now
happened
Barack
to the
Obama.
Shoe? No, it was a knee.
The shoe broke.
Yeah. And by the way, those tickets were upwards of $2,500, $3,000 to go to the game. I mean, that's crazy.
How much do you think the guy who sat next to Obama paid for his ticket?
At least $4,000.
You know, Obama was Spike Lee was there last night.
Yeah, there's a
lot of people. All right, here's what happened to Zion Williamson.
Slipping and injured is Zion Williamson. Back the other way, a layup for Cam Johnson. And 36 seconds into the game, Zion Williamson is down.
He blew through his shoe.
Yeah.
Look at his left shoe. He blew completely through the shoe.
So how disappointed was Obama last night? He goes to this big rivalry game, and the player that everybody is there that they want to see, Zion Williamson, injures himself 36 seconds into the game. It's a grade one knee sprain. And the prognosis is pretty good in terms of he'll be back relatively soon. But then all the talk today was about at least some people trying to make a name for themselves. Zion Williamson should shut it down. That's it. No more Zion Williamson. He should sit out the rest of the season, just get himself ready for the NBA draft where he'll be the number one overall pick. Why all of a sudden is that the reaction of people?
No, because the reaction isn't about this. The reaction is about the NCAA's business model. It's about why is Zion Williamson risking a very, very lucrative career in professional basketball for something where he gets paid nothing. I mean, or at least ostensibly nothing. That's what the argument is.
Well,
because there is no sense to the argument he should shut it down now because he needs to play somewhere between now and the draft.
I mean, what's he going to do? Sit on his couch for the next 4 months and wait to get drafted first overall?
There are benefits to playing for Duke. I don't mean to interrupt, but there are benefits to playing for Duke. The argument is why are you risking a more serious injury working in an industry that doesn't reward you for your labor? That's the argument.
But he could have...
That's the one that people are raising. When you look between the lines, it's not about Duke is screwing him, although I heard some people say, well, he had to play in an inferior shoe that he didn't get a choice about. And that is true, too. I mean, I don't know if it's an inferior shoe, but...
He could have worn Big Baller Brand.
He could have worn high tops if he'd wanted to, but he had to wear Nike because that's the deal. The objection to Zion Williamson continuing his career at Duke is that the NCAA's business model is, on its face, unfair to its athletes. That's the argument they're making, even if they don't put it in those terms. I don't buy the argument in this specific case because from this moment on, he's going to have to show scouts, oh, my knee is fine. Where better to do that than playing at Duke? I mean, there is no reason at all why he should stop playing.
I mean, this is basketball. It's not football. So with Nick Bosa, for example, who could get drafted by the Niners at 2 in the NFL draft coming up, he sat out the season for Ohio State with the injury, right? And that's football. This is basketball. And look, you could have an injury in basketball. I'm not saying you can't. But you could also have an injury if you're just working out on your own trying to get yourself ready for the NBA draft. That's possible. So I don't know what he would gain by sitting out. And let's face it, Duke has given him the platform. He has become a household name around the country because of he plays for Duke. When he was in high school, the only thing that people knew about Zion Williamson and the college basketball fan or the basketball fan was what they'd see on YouTube and all these incredible dunks that he would do. Nobody knew if he had game other than being able to throw the basketball down.
But the people in the business knew that he had game. The business being pro scouts, college recruiters, they all knew that he was more than dunks. What we knew is not relevant here. It's what they knew, and they knew that he was special. Otherwise, Duke wasn't going to go out and get him. And when they signed him, it was a big deal because enough people knew. So that's not really the compelling argument for me. Duke, he was going to be visible wherever he went. He would have been visible if he had gone to North Carolina. He would have been visible if he'd played at Miami of Ohio. I mean, John Morant is visible and he's playing.
At Murray State.
Yeah, in Nowhere Technical Institute. The point is...
I've been to Murray State. It is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, but it's a great basketball program. No, the point about this specific case is Zion Williamson is going to be the first pick anyway because somebody will just take a chance on him. But if this is about any kind of visibility, if he's only out for 2 weeks, he'll play in the conference tournament, he'll play in the NCAA 2A tournament, and they will be the marquee game every night. So he will get all the exposure that you think he doesn't need, except that as a name in a sport that has lost a lot of its luster, he is that name. He's the LeBron James that went to college.
And look, he wasn't able to go from high school to the NBA. The rule prohibited that. He had to, if he didn't want to go to college, he could have gone to Europe. He could have done or taken the year off. But he came out and said he wanted to go to Duke. He wanted to play in college. He wanted to play for Mike Krzyzewski. He wanted that experience where, look, LeBron had the avenue. Kobe had the avenue where they could go straight from high school to the NBA. That wasn't there for Zion Williamson. But Zion Williamson, granted, okay, it was an easy thing for him to say because it wasn't an option, but he said he wanted to go to Duke and play for Coach K.
Yeah, I mean, no, there are a lot of people speaking for him because they don't feel he has a voice. Well, he's got plenty of voice. And when he comes back and plays, you're going to hear him loud and clear. But it's not a voice about, I believe in the tenets of college basketball. It's, I'm Zion Williamson. I want to do this, and I get to decide. And then he will declare for the draft, and he will be picked first in the draft, and he will make a boatload of money, and he may have a phenomenal career in the NBA. But for him right now, shutting it down is only saying, well, he's going to be the first pick anyway. I think he wants to play. And we're talking about, what, a month of playing. Now, if his knee doesn't work, then he will be structurally flawed for his entire career. But I'm going to guess that he's going to heal fine because it's not...
not catastrophic.
Yeah, it's not catastrophic. I mean, nothing was torn as far as I know.
We'll dive further into this. Should Zion pull a Nick Bosa, sit out the rest of the college basketball season? And should he have gone to college in the first place? We'll get to that. But first, here's Gianna with the latest on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Knowing what I know now, college is bull. College basketball, the NCAA is bull. My advice to him is do what's best for you and your family. And obviously, college is. It does nothing for you at this point. You've proven your, the number one pick coming out. You've proven your talent. Get ready for the next level because it's happening. That's my opinion, knowing what I know now. Obviously, when I was at that age, you enjoy the moment, you enjoy the experience and all that. But, there's so many risks involved to get to the ultimate goal, which is, this level. So just do what's best for him and his family.
That's Boogie Cousins. He clearly doesn't think very highly of the NCAA, does he?
Nor should he.
I don't think so.
Well, he just probably didn't get paid enough when he was at Kentucky. That's all.
See, now there you go.
What?
If he had gotten paid enough, he wouldn't have said anything about it. I mean, the fact is the NCAA tries to be all things to all
people. So you think I'm right? They didn't get paid enough by going to Kentucky.
Well, I don't know what he got paid at Kentucky. It was enough for him to stay 1 year. But I think he's looking at what happened. If you're a surefire NBA player, I get the argument that, maybe college isn't for you. I mean, that's why the NBA has proposed a change to the CBA that it's given to the Players Association to lower the draftable age to 18. Which would basically mean you could go from high school to the NBA without bothering with college at all.
And I think that avenue should be there. But if you're going to make a commitment to go to college, it can't make a mockery of what college athletics and being a student athlete is about. So if you're going to make that decision...
If you're going to college to be a basketball player,
okay,
and only a basketball player, you have a decision to make, which is, am I so good that I don't have to bother with this at all?
The avenue should be there to go straight to the NBA if you don't want to bother
with
college
at
all.
What I'm saying is, though, in DeMarcus Cousins' example, he had to play a year at Kentucky because the only other choice was to play overseas. And Kentucky was as visible a place as any. But what he's saying is, given the fact that if you get money, you have to do it surreptitiously. And if you're getting caught with money, you're the one who gets blamed. You're always going to be marked as a cheater when, in fact, you're making buckets of money for the University of Kentucky and John Calipari. And they don't have to worry about, this notion of amateurism. Amateurism is only for the workers. That's what he's saying. And I don't think there's an argument against that. They like the hypocrisy because it's a great business model. That's what this is about. There's no compelling reason why they have to look the other way while money is funneled to the players they recruit. Because they all know that players get paid. The value of college is for that next tier of player who might not get to the NBA, but needs the visibility. Or the tier a player below them who might not even play overseas, but likes playing college basketball and is good enough to contribute. But the business model isn't skewed for them. The business model is skewed for coaches and administrators. And that's the problem with it. No, I don't think anybody says that college basketball should be free and nobody should get paid. They're saying that it's the old white guys who get paid and not the people who actually are doing the work of entertaining the people who pay for it.
A lot of people have come out today, some NBA advisors and people connected to the league, that have come out and suggested that Zion Williamson should sit out the rest of the season. That Zion Williamson should just get himself ready for the NBA draft. Like, after last night's scare, and look, the injury is not bad. It's a day-to-day thing. It's a grade one knee sprain. And look, who knows if he'll play on Saturday when Duke plays again against Syracuse. But people are advising that Zion Williamson should sit out the rest of the season. No, do you think he should?
No, people are blowing off their yaps about it. They're not advising anything.
Okay, they're giving their opinion
it's
he should.
It's meatheads in our business. And we keep thinking that we have import here. And we don't. We are not part of the process here. When you look at the Zion Williamson case in and of itself, the argument that he shouldn't play only makes sense if you believe that all he is an NBA basketball player and that there is no value to being anything but that. But if he was willing to go to Duke to begin with, and if he wants to continue to play for Duke, why not? I mean, he'll get to play. He'll get to, you know, he'll get to play on big stages again, you know, unless the knee is mangled to the point where he can't be a functional player, and it doesn't seem to be. This is like a 1 week thing, and then he should stop playing? That doesn't make sense.
Do you look at the football situation like a Bosa sitting out, or when Christian McCaffrey sat at a bowl game for Stanford, or Bryce Love, well, he was injured, but
they're not analogous.
You look at it, it's completely different scenarios.
Yeah, because football injuries are, you know, one, not just a common occurrence, but it's a barely manageable risk in that sport. And I think the chances of something happening to Zion Williamson again are minimal. The chances of Nick Bosa getting hurt and then getting hurt again were fairly substantial because that's the nature of injuries in football. You get hurt, then you get hurt again, and eventually you get hurt enough times that you don't get to play anymore. It makes sense for great college football players not to bother because the chance of injury is far too high, and it's far too catastrophic.
I'm going to throw this at Gianna. If you're Zion Williamson's mom, what would you tell him to do?
Well, I mean, I think you mentioned earlier, Ray, that there's like a month and change left, you know, for his college, quote unquote, career at this point. I wouldn't risk an injury. I think
you'd tell him to sit out.
I think so. I think he's obviously has a bright future waiting for him at the next level and everything that comes with that. I mean, at that point, he can design his own shoe that works best for his body and his body type. And not be subject to maybe a shoe that didn't work for him and a potential injury. So not saying that's the case. No offense to Nike. It could have been a one-off. But, you know, I think you have to look to the future. And at this point, it's not like it's the beginning of the season or beginning of his college career. He's already on his way out.
He's going to be the number one pick. And he can only go down from there.
Right. So why risk it?
See, I look at it as he's still part of this team, right? And he went on this journey with Mike Krzyzewski, and Duke has other guys that are going to be taken in the top five in the draft. I mean, they've got Cam Reddish, who's a top five pick in the NBA draft, most likely. RJ Barrett's probably the number two overall pick, right behind his teammate Zion Williamson. And they're trying to win a national championship. That's what they went there for.
But the point is, it should only be Williamson's choice.
True.
It shouldn't even, I mean, mom gets to say something, but Zion Williamson might like playing with his teammates at Duke. He might have fun doing that.
Sure, and that could be the case.
All that is risk that he should understand and should have to process because that's part of maturation.
But would you advise him to look to his future as well, to what the potential of where he can go?
I would ask him, what's the most important thing to you? And then let him answer. You know, it's a man's decision. First chance to be really, really be a man. Tell me what you want to do, and I'll support you, but you're the one who's going to have to decide to do it.
But he's the one that also said, I owe it to Coach K and my teammates.
Which is fine. Then if he wants to honor that, that's completely up to him. If he thinks the math has changed, he gets to tell Coach Krzyzewski, I had to change my mind.
He could have a change of heart after that experience.
Well, yeah. No, I'm saying that's not a letter of intent any more than, you know, telling your mom what you think you're going to do. Conditions have changed. But it should be his call ultimately. And the idea that people are telling him this is what you ought to do basically kind of undermines his right to decide.
Well, they can give him advice.
Only if he asks for it.
But he's an 18, 19-year-old kid.
So what? He's an 18 or 19-year-old
kid. Were you ready
kid?
At that stage of your life to make a life-altering decision like that?
I mean, guidance is okay.
I was never confronted with the life-altering decision. He is. Everybody gets a different deal.
I'm not growing up enough now probably to make that decision. I have to lean on somebody else to make it for me.
No, but I mean, if he wants to reach out to his mom and say, what do you think? You know, he can ask for advice from anybody, but I wouldn't offer him anything unsolicited.
Roxy, what if he was your kid?
I'd let him make his decision, but if he asked me for advice, I'd tell him to play.
Really?
I'd tell him to play. But it'd be his decision to make. That would be my feeling on it, that he should play. But at the end of the day, if he wants to sit out the rest of the season and protect his draft status and his health, I wouldn't stand in his way.
I would ask him a series of questions.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's how I would. I wouldn't give him advice. I'd just say, all right, what's the most important thing to you right now, today? Other than getting your knee healthy.
So with that said,
if the first words out of his mouth are, I want to be an NBA star, then I'd say, then you've got to seriously think about giving up college right now today, because you could get hurt again.
So would you tell RJ Barrett then, who's going to be the number two pick, who's Zion's teammate at Duke, would you tell him to sit out the rest of the season too?
His is a different case. Every case is different. That's why I would basically try to make it the player's choice. And I don't care if he's 18. All right? Because the choices here are, do you want to make oodles of money, or do you want to have some fun before you make oodles of money? I'm not sure that maybe when you phrase it as a life-altering choice,
but
that it really is. No, it's...
But the perception of you is going to change, right? If you decide to shut it down, I think there's going to be people out there who look negatively on Zion Williamson.
And you know what?
That he quit on his team.
And you know what? He'll get over it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's...
Because we think...
Millions upon millions of dollars will help get over it.
We think public perception has this all-powerful sort of weight on people. And I think in a lot of cases, it doesn't. Because as much as we hate to admit it, they're different than everybody else. They have been presented with a door on the other side of which is more money than they can count. Doing the one thing they love more than anything else. Their decisions are different than ours. And because they are different than we are, because we have created a culture in which we have imbued power and importance to things like this.
Yeah, it's about what's best for him, regardless of what everyone else thinks.
Yeah, and if he said, I want to finish my year with my friends and my coach at school, say, then that's what you need to do. And then I'd walk away and go, now you tell people what you're going to do. I wouldn't tell him stay in school or get out. I just say, and if he looks at me with a blank look, I just go, these are adult choices. You're going to be entering an adult world. This is the first one of those choices, and it's a relatively low-risk one. But if you can't make this decision, if you need me to tell you what it is, then you're not ready next year. You're not ready the year after. You know, it's big boy pants time. And this is your choice.
It's a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure.
You know,
there's a lot to put on an 18, 19-year-old kid.
But he's not just an 18 or 19-year-old kid. He's an 18 or 19-year-old kid who has lived in the spotlight long enough to understand at least part of that.
And it's crazy because every game that he plays right now, he's on national TV. Every Duke game is national television. Where next year, let's say he gets drafted by the Phoenix Suns, the Atlanta Hawks. Is he on national TV every night? No. But now he's in that spotlight because he's playing for Duke. And Duke has given him that platform that has helped him get to the point where everybody feels he's a consensus number one pick. 888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570. They're lining up. Let's start down in San Jose. Patrick, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Patrick, what's up?
Hey, no, I was just listening to you guys talk about these, college athletes getting paid and stuff. And I've been thinking about it for a while, like you see guys sitting out bowl games and football and thing with Zion that happened the other night. I understand everybody wants to get paid, compensated. How does it, you guys, in your opinion, how does it impact just the regular college student if these guys start getting paid? Like, these guys are taking all this revenue and money, you know, from going to these games. And I know some pockets get lined, obviously, but how much actually trickles down to the student and offsets tuition costs? I mean, living in California, tuitions are expensive, man. As a parent, I got young daughters that are going to start going to school. If these athletes start getting paid, is my tuition going to go up 10, 20 grand for my kid to go to school if these guys start getting paid? And, you know, I'll take your answer off the air, and I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
If I understand the way the free market works, the tuition for your kid is going to go up not based on their expenses. It's based on what you're willing to pay. It's not there. We have to raise tuition costs because we have to pay Zion Williamson. It's we're raising tuition costs because we think you'll pay it. And if you won't pay it, then I guess you'll go to another school and we'll try to find somebody else to pay it instead.
And there's
and if we don't get enough people to fill a full freshman class, then we know we priced it too high.
And there's all this talk about, should they get paid? Should they be compensated for what they do for the university? Well, my counter to that is, look, I've wrestled with this. I've gone back and forth on should they be paid, should they not be paid. They're getting a free education.
They are.
Right? It's not our fault if they want to go to a place like Kentucky, LSU, where the education really isn't all that great. If you're going to take advantage of it and you want to be a real student, go to Stanford, go to Cal. Go to UCLA. Take advantage of the situation where that education's worth a lot more. So, okay, you're not getting paid right now. We'll make it up by taking advantage of a degree from the number one public university in the world like Cal or a place like Stanford. Go to an Ivy League school. But people settling. Duke is a great academic university. North Carolina is a tremendous school. And I'm not trying to talk negatively about them because I'm not. But there's some schools out there that, let's face it, that their academics can be a joke. Where you go to a place like Cal, like Stanford, like UCLA, that's where you get a real education. That's where you can get your money's worth right there and take advantage of that education.
This isn't an academic argument. The people who have choices like the one that Zion Williamson is making have gone to Duke because it's basically a trade school.
Yes.
In the industry he wants to go to. He could stay for 4 years. He has absolutely that choice. But the idea that college, that big-time college sports is about offering an education to kids is nonsense. And it's always been nonsense. It's a moneymaker. It's a huge moneymaker. And in order for it to be a moneymaker, it has to allow the idea that everything we say we stand for is a load of crap because we all have our price. Zion Williamson may want to get a degree from Duke, and he's not prohibited from getting that. But he didn't. But my impression is that he didn't go to Duke because he planned to play 4 years. He didn't go to Duke because he wants to become a neuroscientist or an art history major. He went because it was a great place to ply his future trade. Mm-hmm. And it's not just Zion Williamson. Name any decent player across the country. They're looking at it the same way. And the colleges are saying, yes, we look at it that way too, because we want to make money off of you.
I disagree with that.
Well, you're wrong, but we'll move on.
No, I'm not wrong. Because, for example, okay, there's a kid at Stanford right now, Casey Akpala, who's going to be a first-round pick, more than likely, in the NBA draft this year. Now, when he went to Stanford, he wasn't necessarily in that conversation in terms of being an NBA guy 2 years down the road, but he is right now. But he went to Stanford because it's a great place to get an education, and he can also play basketball. It's the Pac-12. I don't even say it's necessarily the high level this year.
No, it's the Sun Belt.
It's been tough. It's been tough.
But no, but Stanford's not the example you want to use because it isn't analogous. Stanford is a very different place than almost any other college in the country.
True.
And when you haul out that example, you're basically saying, look at the shiny thing over here and ignore the dumpster over here. There are too many colleges that aren't Stanford, all right? And there are too many players that we're at the level we're talking about, because it's not every player in the country that gets this choice, but there are a lot of them who are making this choice, and they are making it based on where they can play, not where they can go to class.
Because, Roxy, your example of that kid, is he needed time in Stanford, like a few years.
And not every couple years.
Not every kid's going to be in that circumstance. No, almost like Zion's like 1 year and he's out. He's going to the NBA.
One size does not fit all. That's absolutely true. And I'm not saying that college sports should be abolished. I'm just saying that they dress themselves up as educators when, in fact, way too often and way too gleefully, they choose not to educate because there's money to be made. And there are any number of schools, and I will point out North Carolina as a place where they spit on learning to make sure that their players are playing. I mean, there's that scandal hasn't been settled
on. No,
and they're not the only ones.
And it won't. Joe and Hayward, you're next up here at 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Hey, you know, I'm a big fan of the station. Gianna, I'm a big fan of you and Falcon, so I'm not trying to be disrespectful. But here's where I think. Zion Williamson's been told that he's going to be the better than LeBron, an athlete like LeBron, coming out of college better than LeBron. I also believe that if this is just a knee sprain, apparently just a knee sprain on a shoe that blew out. If he decides to hang it up because of his knee sprain, it's going to affect him personally on a level that is something we couldn't equate to, because for the rest of his career, it's going to be you quit because of that. He's got a chance and an opportunity that Duke gave him to succeed more than the dollars we could realize. He's going to make more money than we ever will realize. If he comes back stronger, you think Nike's going to give up on this kid if he comes back stronger? I think that he ought to just go out the rest of this year, go to the tournament, make money, and he's just going to have a bunch of zeros. I think if he quit right now, it's just another example of the pussification of America that we have with our young youth. I don't think he should quit. That's just my two cents. Thanks, guys.
No, I don't think, A, he should, and I don't think he will, but I don't think what you said at the end has anything to do with this. This is about a tactical choice that he would be making. And the only people who are saying that he should stop now are people who only view him as an NBA player and as nothing else.
Well, not necessarily, because I feel like if I was his mom and I was in that position, I would advise him to, hey, he's almost at the finish line. That's the thing. If this was, and thanks, Joe, for your call and for loving the show.
And Falcon.
Yes. Thank you for that. And
didn't love us.
No disrespect taken at all. I'm glad you have an opinion. But if this was the beginning of the season and he was just getting started his first year, I feel I would feel differently, because you need some time to sort of like have that opportunity. But we're so close to the end here. There's a month and some change left. I think at this point, it's okay to start looking ahead at this point.
But doesn't the possibility
of
winning a national championship mean something?
It could be the only one he ever wins. Who knows? What if he ends up with the Suns in the NBA draft? So,
okay,
yeah.
But that's not a decision get to make. And that's not care about winning the national championship. We don't know.
And in the end, Zion should make the decision, because, is the first step to being an adult. I get that.
Every indication we do have is he does care about that.
Okay.
He does care about his teammates. He does care about Mike Krzyzewski.
Which is why I think he is going to come back and play for Duke. I mean, that's why this really isn't a great example of the debate about one and done or none and done. Because we're almost at the end of a season in which the best games are coming up now.
That's true.
Spartacus in Phoenix, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys.
Good afternoon.
Hey, guys. Let me start by saying I love all of you.
Thank you. And somebody loves us.
Well, you got bad judgment, but go ahead.
And I agree with Ray about it's Zion's decision, and he should ignore what the public and people who aren't in basketball think. But he really does have to consider the opinion of the people of his future employers, because that's going to affect the amount of money that he can't count that he may get, because they may think not only that he quit, but they may start questioning whether or not he's actually still injured.
He shouldn't have to consider his future employers. His future employers are responsible for that. He's still going to be the first round pick anyway, because unless his knee is absolutely just destroyed, nobody's not going to take him first. So they're he doesn't have to take the Phoenix Suns, which I guess is who he would be referring to, or, you know, the New York Knicks or anybody into it. No, he does. That's not his responsibility. His responsibility is to himself.
You think that's why Spike Lee went to the game last night, Cameron Indoor, to vision Zion Williamson in a New York Knicks uniform?
Yeah.
No. He was there. Obama was there last night.
That was quite the crowd.
That was an event last night.
Yeah, but they weren't going there because it was Duke, North Carolina, because there have been a lot of games where none of those people have shown up. They went there to see Zion Williamson because they are viewing Zion Williamson as the living successor to LeBron James. That's why they're there.
We'll get back to the Zion Williamson talk coming up in a bit. Coming up also in a little bit, John Smoltz, the Hall of Famer, will stop by the show. But coming up next, the Bryce Harper watch, it continues. What's the Giants' plan B? What is the big picture for the Giants? With Ray Ratto and Gianna Roxy Bernstein in for Damon at 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
In for Damon along with Ray Ratto and Gianna, Roxy Bernstein with you. We'll get to the Bryce Harper and Giants talk in a sec. We got so many people still on hold. They want to chime in. They're intrigued by this Zion Williamson story. 888-957-9570. John Smoltz also joining us at the top of the hour, the Hall of Famer, but we'll stay on the phones. We'll stay here in the city. JT, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Gianna.
Hi.
Hey, so I'm a former college athlete, and I have a lot of friends who played all over the country at different schools. And one of the main things that a lot of us will make the point as why college athletes will be paid, should be paid, is because there's so many barriers for college athletes to actually make money. If you come from a socioeconomic background where perhaps you're helping support your mother or father or your family, you need to be able to work. And the fact that the NCAA prevents you from actually working, that means that you need to figure out a way to make money. And so that's why you end up having a lot of scandals where people end up going out and doing things such as the Ohio State or wherever. There's people who go out and they try to make some money real quick so that they can perhaps buy their mom a refrigerator because their refrigerator broke or something like that. So you have to figure out a way to give these athletes some type of money outside of just paying for their education. That's a great deal to get a good education. Obviously, I'm not a pro athlete, so I took advantage of that. But not everybody's going to be able to take care of that. And you have to take care of yourself first. And that means that sometimes you gotta make that choice between making money in the long term and something in the short term, which may mean winning a national championship. And for Zion Williamson, that means he should probably, at this point, he secured his spot. So take a step back, take a rest, and get your money in the future.
Okay. So, there are compelling arguments on either side of this. But in this case, this specific case, it makes less sense for him not to play. That said, if he came out tomorrow and said, I just saw the light, as much as I want to win a national championship, I don't want to risk my future, that's all I need to know. Because there is nothing compelling about the dreams of others that should affect his dream. Period. This argument has always broken down to, well, what kind of fan are you? Are you an NBA fan? Well, they can't possibly play. If you're a college fan, well, he must play. Well, he doesn't have to choose either of those. He doesn't have to do anything. What he needs to do is figure out what works best for him. And that's it. But this has always been an argument about, what do I like more, the pro game or the college game? And when, in fact, it's still, as I said it right at the top, this is an argument about a business model.
And every indication that he's given is he loves the college game.
Which is fine.
This is all we can go off of right now.
Yeah, but
he loves the college game, loves his teammates, loves Coach K, and he wants to win a national championship. That's why he went to Duke. Yeah, okay, it was also going to help him get to the NBA, which was the goal, right? But also, competing and winning a national championship were the reasons also that he went to Duke, and he stated that.
But now you're trying to engage in a chicken and egg argument, which is, what did he want more? And we don't know that. I mean, he didn't choose Duke because the national championship was first and foremost in him, probably. He wanted to go because that was a great ticket to the NBA. Now, he's come to like his teammates, apparently, and he likes playing for Mike Krzyzewski, but that wasn't the first choice. The first choice was, how can this help me get to the NBA? And playing at the highest profile team in the country, that's a great deal for me. It's not, I'm here to make sure that Duke is happy. It's, I'm here to find my goal and go toward it. That's why it's, you know, the idea of what he said before, well, I love Duke. No, what he's doing is preparing to be a pro basketball player.
So if that's
the case, if he thought that Michigan State gave him a better chance, he'd have gone there.
So if that's the case, then he's pretty much proven that, right? That the next level is the NBA. That's where he belongs next.
No question.
No, this is a question of what he wants to do, not what he must do.
Right. He's going to be the number one pick. Unless there's something that goes catastrophically wrong, like he has an injury.
And his rookie contract is going to be his rookie contract. The wild cards would be, well, how much will he make on a shoe contract? How much will he make on other endorsements? But that's outside the scope of this argument.
We should blame Nike for this argument, because had that shoe never exploded, we wouldn't even be discussing this.
No,
right
he might
now.
Have had a different injury.
Did you see Puma? Maybe not.
Maybe it'd been fine.
Did you see Puma tweeted out like right after? This wouldn't have happened if he was wearing Pumas.
If I was Under Armour, Antas, every sneaker in the business, I'd be tweeting out the same thing.
Yeah, and you know what? It all smacked of too soon, because you were still talking about a kid,
and you didn't know how the significance of the injury yet.
Yeah. You know, that's somebody who works in marketing who probably should be beaten to death with a stick.
Mark in San Jose, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Couple points. Someone said that he wanted to stay and win a national championship. And I think that's just the new NCAA or the rule in the NCAA that he has to go for 1 year. I don't think he cares about a championship. If for him, he'd be on the Suns already making $100 million. So quite frankly, I think he's going to sign an agent and not go back to college. My other point, and I don't think anybody talked about it today, is Jay Billis doing Duke games is really annoying. He said the game was wrapped up with about a minute 30 left and Carolina up 16. And it's just, it's really annoying listening to him be such a homer for Duke. Thanks for letting me on and have a good day.
I don't know. I like Jay. Granted, I'm biased because I work with Jay. So,
well, here's the problem. He's their best analyst.
Depends on what your taste is. You like him better than Walton?
I need to be higher to watch Walton.
Higher in your chair?
And I'll be honest with you.
I don't know what you're getting at.
If you put Walton on Duke games, the nation would hate him.
How can you hate Bill Walton?
Because people are capable of hating anyone. I don't say I hate him, but Bill Walton isn't really the sort of person that somebody who wants to watch Duke every week wants to listen to. They don't want that. Bill Walton doesn't translate for them.
See, I remember when Bill and I did a Kansas game last year, and the Kansas people ate it up. They loved having Bill Walton.
Well, yeah, but he had established himself sort of as this grand cartoon figure.
That's what he is.
Okay, which is fine. I don't think Duke basketball fans play to the cartoon. I think they view themselves, we are a multi-million-dollar industry, and we will not be played with, we will not be mocked by this sandal-wearing foreigner. There are places where he wouldn't play well. I don't think he'd play well at Michigan. I'm not saying that he's bad at his job or that he's not beloved in a lot of places, but there are places where he wouldn't play.
Clemenza Marin, you're on 95.7 The Game. You get to play here next.
Hey, team, thanks for having me on. I love you guys in the afternoons.
I just wanted to make an observation. I rarely watch both those teams. I'm a Big Ten guy. And I've got an eighth grade son. He plays basketball. All these kids these age, they know the stats of the 12th man on the worst NBA team. I just don't ever remember having that kind of recall. But one thing that hit me, now granted, there was a huge environmental variable that Duke suffered with Zion's injury. But what was the difference between those two starting lineups?
Last night?
Duke started a bunch of freshmen. North Carolina started a bunch of upperclassmen, and they killed them. And so I was just sitting there thinking about all this going, wow, you know, maybe North Carolina's better than them because they've got all of this experience. And, you know, I mean, that may just went off. Now, Williams may have neutralized that, but they went into Cameron, and that's the one thing that nobody's talking about, is that they went into Cameron and killed him.
Yeah, so, but I also think that Duke was a little shell-shocked, right? When Zion went out. But the other thing that was disappointing from a basketball standpoint, no, granted, I think it's just you and me that are probably interested in this, Clemenza, but that R.J. Barrett and Cam Reddish, here's two guys that are going to be top five picks in the draft, and they did nothing last night. They just turtled when Zion Williamson went out, and North Carolina ran wild on him last night.
To the relative differences in experience,
the freshmen, they had Kobe White. They had freshmen that were strong contributors to the ballgame last night.
Oh, God, that kid, man.
He's going to be really good.
I mean, I think I'm not penciling those guys in as the national championship, even with Zion Williams, because you can get 18, 17-year-old kids. You get laid in those that Sweet 16, Grade 8. You're going to be playing the best teams. And I'm not a fan of either team, but you'd be stupid not to think that North Carolina is not in the conversation of the Final Four team.
Oh, they clearly are. And they've proven that. Nobody's saying they're not.
Yeah.
And look, I know people are ready to anoint Duke as the team. And granted, okay, it's March Madness still. We got a little less than a month from now. But the team for me, Ray, Gonzaga.
And
they've got experience, what he was just talking about.
Okay, but
and potential lottery picks.
But if experience was that vital, then Zion Williamson playing, well, he's another freshman, that makes it even worse because now they have even less experience.
And Gonzaga beat Duke.
This was about, okay, and when did that happen?
In November.
Okay. I buy your argument, which is Duke was basically knocked off its moorings right away. Now, what I would suggest is that maybe the draft order 2 through 10 isn't settled yet. It's settled by us now, but 1 is the one that's settled. And when you take away not only the best player in the country, but the best player by a pretty significant margin, and you take him away immediately, I completely get why Duke turtled. Now, if you want to say that DJ Barrett turtled and that's some sort of sign of his competitive character, I think you're sort of standing out on a pretty thin limb. But if you want to make that argument, fine. But I also don't think that the draft order is settled below 1 anyway. I mean, everybody thought last year that Luka Doncic had to be the second player taken. Had to be. It was so clear he must be taken. He wasn't. Different teams have different needs or different views of the world. DJ Barrett may not at all be the second player taken. He could be the 8th. You know, a lot of things get changed in people's minds, especially come the tournament. And if he doesn't have a great tournament, I could easily see him slide down a board. The only guy who's not moving is Williamson.
We'll shift the conversation, jump in a little baseball. We'll get back to this coming up in a little bit. But the Hall of Famer John Smoltz coming up at first.